Well, hello there.
Oh, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
We have so much to go through. It's ridiculous. I've been making notes on all these football games for the past 2 weeks. I'm so excited.
Good, dude. Good. I can't wait to get into it. This is going to be a great episode. A monumental episode.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Can we introduce our new segment? I don't know if we have a name for it. We'll just keep calling it Mount something. It'll be a surprise this week.
Mount something.
Let's get a quick little. I'm trying to figure out, like, because now Arnold was asking me, like, how do you guys, like, structure this? I was like, do we have a structure? I don't actually know. So I figured, like, we do a little intro because we have a goat now. Finally have a goat.
Which is huge. Which is huge. So big. I can't believe it. I think this is episode 13. And we finally have part of our namesake joining the show.
It's good to finally be a full-grown podcast. So I guess, like, just out of curiosity, so you're set in your apartment. You're all good. Do you have a good, like, family visit this weekend?
Dude, it was great. So for the first time in 6 weeks last night, I slept in a bed. My parents came up this weekend. Nick was here. And so we went around and bought a mattresses. I have I bought a $34 couch.
Wow. That's a good deal for a couch.
Yeah, so there's this place. It's not Goodwill, but it's basically Goodwill, just a little bit nicer. It's called St. Vincent de Paul's. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. They call it St. Vinny's.
That's amazing.
There's like six or seven locations up here, and my mom was basically harassing me for the last month. Go to this place. They're great. I didn't go once until she came. They walk in the door Friday night, and like 15 minutes later, they're like, all right, let's go. And so we head out the door to this St. Vinny's place. I'm like, geez, this is going to be a nightmare. We walk in. First thing we see is this big floral red and pink couch.
Oh, please tell me that's your couch.
$34. I said, let's buy it. So I went up, paid for it. It's sitting 5 feet away from me right now. It's so comfortable. There's no stench. There's no odor. It's clean, and it was $34. It's amazing, dude. It's so comfy.
I really feel like I just kind of like it's because every apartment has some sort of centerpiece. I feel like that's yours right now, just from hearing the description. Yeah,
it's 100% a centerpiece. It's an icebreaker. It's amazing. It's right in the middle of my 500 square foot studio. I love it.
I just because it's such a cool, like, especially that place. Like, oh, where'd you get your couch? St. Vincent de Paul's. Like. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's high class.
It is. And if you don't tell anyone that it's kind of like Goodwill-ish, they think that you're a baller. Ooh, yeah. This is St. Vinny's place. Mm.
I mean, you're living in a one-bedroom apartment. You just got your own couch. Like, so how's just out of curiosity, how's your back feel?
How's my back feel?
Yeah, you said, like, sleeping on the floor, had fixed all your back problems. Is there a difference right now?
Dude, I'm telling you. I came up here with the worst kink in my neck. I slept on the floor for 6 weeks. I feel spry. I feel a little bit taller too. I think it's like kind of stretched me out a little bit.
Well, you're closer to space up there in Wisconsin, so.
That's true.
It's hard to tell. I'll have to do an experiment one of these days, sleep on the floor myself, see if I feel anything different.
Yeah, there's less gravity up here.
Yeah.
It was great though. But like, so at one point this weekend, we bought the mattress and we bought the couch, but this was Saturday and we needed to go rent a truck from Home Depot to go pick these things up.
Yeah.
So I've got this legendary picture. I'm going to send it to you. If we had a website, I'd post it to the website. It's my dad, me, and Nick sitting in a Home Depot truck driving down the highway, and we're all in the front row. It's just like a bench. And we're looking like the Three Stooges. Like my dad can't get this thing up 45 miles an hour at all. Like there's no horsepower in this truck. We're just clugging along the highway, picking up mattresses. It was legendary.
Oh my gosh. That feels like a classic Wisconsin story right there.
Dude, it was. We're sitting in traffic on the highway in this little beat up truck. It was so fun. It was so fun. Okay, how's your week going? Or how's the last 2 weeks?
Gosh, the best part of my last 2 weeks has been sitting, because I had to work both weekends, and it's just been sitting there watching football uninterrupted. Because I've never been able to do that just because, like, you know, there's always roommates in the way. They always want to watch something else for some unknown reason. And then now, like, because as soon as the Georgia game starts, it just dies there in Athens. And so I'm just, like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching college football. Everyone's, like, too hungover to come to the office on Sunday. I'm just sitting there watching my NFL games. It's very, very enjoyable.
Dude, that's amazing. That, I mean, that's life. That is life right there.
I agree. So there was, and this was like one of those little moments that just made me feel proud. They had a live singer at Chick-fil-A. She was there again tonight, but I didn't have time to stop and talk to her. Yeah, so she was just sitting in there. She it's like when you walk in the door on the one on Barnett and that little corner, like right where you pick up your food. She was just sitting there. She's playing this little ukulele, just singing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I was like working up the courage to like, just go say hey the whole time. Like just like the whole hour I was there, I was like, just do something. So right before I left, I was like, hey, you did a great job tonight. I really appreciate it. She's like, oh, thanks. And it was, that was it. That's all I did. I was like, okay.
Dude,
yes.
Dude, isn't the feeling of talking to a girl just so much, like you can sleep better.
You can't.
When you go and talk to her as opposed to walking by and not saying anything, like if you don't say anything, it eats at you at night. At least if you go up and make an attempt, whether you fail or succeed, you go, go to sleep content.
I felt like I did something that day that mattered.
Okay, so this girl's playing a ukulele in Chick-fil-A. What was the vibe? Like was she cute?
She was okay. So because I kind of get into this in my my mount was. What mountain do we want? Kilimanjaro. Well, let's go Kilimanjaro. That's what's the first thing that popped my head. I mean, with my Mount Kilimanjaro, I go into this a little bit more.
Okay.
It's hard to objectively say, but I thought so. And she was there again today. They had like this whole, you order on the app, you go outside and you can like have this like picnic and she's sitting there playing music. And I was like, oh, but I got a podcast. I can't stay. I got to go.
Oh my God, dude. That's commitment.
That's so, but yeah, how about you? Any updates on anything?
I had a very interesting conversation with a couple girls today.
Okay.
Probably 8 hours ago. I want to wait till Arnav's on to tell you the story, though. It's phenomenal.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. All right. So how about I text him right now? We'll go ahead. We'll introduce our goat and because we just get started.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll see you guys in a bit. Arnav's in. I think we're waiting on Alex, right?
He's not here yet?
This is the first time ever putting a different person in this, so I'm not sure if it's like supposed to work or not.
Well, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, I had never even heard about this app until I heard about it from you guys.
We literally, because we were using... We were just like, because we went out and we bought a mic. We were just recording on that and uploading it to Spotify and SoundCloud and all that. Right. And then you can't upload more than 3 hours a month on there. So that just wasn't going to cut it. This place, you can upload as much as you want for free and you publish it on iTunes, Spotify. We're on like 40 different websites right now. You don't even know.
Gentlemen.
There he is.
What's going on?
Yeah. I was just telling Arnav how popular of a podcast we are.
Oh my gosh, dude, we're taking off.
I don't think we ever talked about this. We're on like 40 different websites right now.
Wait, we're on 40 websites?
Yeah, I sent you like all those screenshots. It was like they kept sending me like at least 20 to 30 emails that one day telling me what website we were on now. And that's like that screenshot that you like, okay, it was we're on Spotify, we're on Breaker, Google Podcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, all this stuff. I got it all in the same day. I was like, oh my God, we're taking off.
Dude, we're sick.
You guys are the next big thing.
Arnie, your voice, it pleases me. I've missed it.
I've missed you guys. It's good to be here.
How was your week of tests?
It was just brutal. Oof. I mean, it sucks because, you know, in high school and like in college, you get those weeks where you have like 3 tests in 4 days.
Yeah, it's me next week.
So it stinks. It's very little sleep. It's just a rough 3 or 4 days, but then you're done, and then you have like a 3-week break before you have to do that again.
Wow.
The way they structure this program is a blessing and a curse, and that there's a test every like 5 days when you go through that testing period. So it's nice in that you don't have to go through three really rough days, but it's just dragged out.
You're always dreading the next one.
Exactly. And then you only have a short break between that before it all starts again. So I personally prefer it just all being done with quick. But
yeah, well, this is a safe space for you. I just want you to kind of relax.
I appreciate that.
Enjoy your time. So I want to hear these stories, Alex.
Yes, so today was interesting. I'll just start with that. Arnav, as we're texting today, I'm in my office alone. My office mate is in Seattle this week, so I've got the whole place to myself. So I'm just screwing around in my office, checking my fantasy lineup, texting Arnav, you know, just hanging out, making money, doing nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm about six, seven weeks into this job now. And that's enough time for my personality to kind of grow on people. Like, they're either liking
that's it. That's a one way of putting it.
They're either liking it at this point or they're hating it. So these two girls that I know, their names are Sam and Maddie.
Okay.
They're really nice. Decent looking. And
I'm going to link them this podcast.
They've been dropping by my office the last couple days, knocking on my door, coming to say hi, hanging out. You know, we're laughing. We're getting to know each other, blah, 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 you know. So they come over today and knock on the door, and I let them in. And I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And they come in the office. We close the door. And we just start chit-chatting. And, you know, I don't even remember what it was about. And then all of a sudden, about 10 minutes into the conversation, it somehow transitioned to their women health issues.
Oh, boy. Alex, you know what this means, right?
What?
They think you're one of them. They think you're gay.
So let me get there. Let me get there, clown. I'm working into it. Don't rush me. So they start going into real detail about the products they're using, the IUDs they have in their arms, and all this
stuff. Amon's got one of those, I think.
I think he does. And so this conversation goes on for about 10 minutes, and I'm talking about grisly detail. And I just remember, like, mid-conversation, I'm, like, looking around at the walls, thinking in my head, how have I gotten into this? Like, I didn't bring this up. They brought this up. And then I started thinking, this means one of two things. I'm either exuding a very comfortable vibe and I'm easy to talk to, and they feel comfortable around me, which is phenomenal. It's a great vibe. And then, like, 2 seconds later, I was like, but wait, this is the worst place I could ever be. Because a guy that anyone is slightly attracted to, they wouldn't be divulging their women's menstrual issues with. So I sat there questioning my entire life.
Hey, it happens, man. Sorry, at the very least, you have two new friends.
I
That's true.
I'm glad you are at least, you know, self-aware enough to kind of recognize both sides of this issue and arrive at the conclusion by yourself without us having to
bring you. It's very sad.
Because that would just be really depressing. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having girlfriends because they have attracted
That's true girlfriends.
So... maybe that's something you can.
The problem becomes in the future. Is if they introduce you to their attractive girlfriends as the gay friend. But, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah, so definitely trying to bring something up to kind of head
nice
that off.
In conversation, but doesn't mean you're gay.
I agree.
Like, should I just say, I'm not going to talk about this? Not happening. Oh, okay. He's not gay. Sounds good.
What? Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. I'm not sure there's a whole lot you can do when you're thrust into that scenario.
No. I mean, I would say this is disgusting. I don't want to hear it. But depends on your attitude.
For the pod.
That's also true. There's a lot of things we're sacrificing to get these stories.
This is a commitment. I picked up and I drove a drug dealer around for the sake of this pod so I could, a year later, tell that story.
What?
Good.
Have you not heard
Wait,
this?
What?
Yeah.
Wait, with the cocaine in the backseat? Yeah, I did hear that.
Just
great story.
The things, you know, you guys have to do for the pod. I respect the dedication.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So how does it feel being like a big enough businessman that you go on business trips?
It's a two-sided coin. On the one hand, you're getting free food all week. You don't have any expenses. And you're in a cool city.
That's great.
I was in Nashville.
What city were you in?
Which is a great town, yeah, as definitely. Arnold can attest to.
This is true.
But on the other hand, it's like, this sucks. Sitting at the airport. I mean, airports, dude. There used to be a time when airports were like first class, like something to look forward to going to. You put on a suit. You put on a tie. You go there now, dude. It's a bus stop. It is atrocious. I mean, you're sitting on these flights next to fat people. They're coughing. There's babies. There's sneezing. There's no room. You're just treated like an animal. It's miserable.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, all right. So I don't have anything else. I really want to talk about football, if you guys are good with that. Okay. So, because there's so much more NFL stuff, I'm going to do a quick college recap just to keep you guys updated. Arnav, I don't know how much college football you watch, but I'm here to dispel any inaccuracies. Okay. So Notre Dame,
correct,
complete trash. I put them on the hot seat the week before. You know, they played that tight game, but they almost lost to Vanderbilt this week. Inexcusable. Doesn't matter. The rest of their schedule is they shouldn't be in the playoff. Ohio State, same thing. Almost lost to TCU. TCU's not very good. I don't know how they completely collapsed in the fourth quarter. It was a one-possession game.
So you're writing off Ohio State?
See, if they went out in the Big Ten, they're gonna, you know, be in the playoff. But they're not a good team.
Well, how much of that is because of
Urban will
not
say
being there this week?
That's
really
that's false.
I think I really you don't think
say
so.
What you
I
want about so. Urban. He's one of the best offensive minds in football.
No, and I agree with that. But they have not been playing good teams at all. TCU is not a good team. And their problems weren't on offense. They put up close to 60 points. It's on defense. And that's strictly because they've lost so many people in the past couple of years. That's hard for them to – I mean, they can't replace Marshawn Lattimore's and Eli Apples and, you know, all these people every single year. I think it's just a down year for their defense more than anything. But I am going to put them on the hot seat. They're playing Maryland this weekend. Maryland is a very underrated team.
Oh,
I think it's going to be
–
like. Listen, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Maryland's the team that had the kid die in the offseason, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're playing with heart. A lot of heart.
They're playing with a body is what they're playing with.
Not a whole lot of talent, but a lot of heart, and that's what matters. Alabama killed FSU 2 years ago. They still have not recovered. It's really embarrassing. and I'm like, Francois is a good quarterback. And it's not showing because the rest of the team is so bad.
Wow.
Tua is possibly the greatest college quarterback ever.
You're forgetting about Tebow.
He is. Well, they both have God on their side, so I think it kind of equals out right there. Tua has not played a full game of college football yet. And he has not even played a full half in these first three games. But he's perfect on third down. He has run for two first downs. He is like every drive he's in, we've scored points. There is literally nothing normal about the stats he's putting up. And like, he's going to have a little bit more of competition against A&M this weekend. But I really just say carve a lay into the Heisman now because it should be his.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes a bit over there, you bandwagon bozo.
Wow. He hit you with the alliteration. Okay. That's how you know it's real.
I know.
Does it not scare you that he's Hawaiian?
It actually makes me, you know, because just of all the struggle they've gone through to get to where they are, I mean, they you know, survived Pearl Harbor. How many people in the United States did they survive Pearl Harbor? I mean,
well,
they didn't
die.
I don't know what you're
not sentient,
about.
So.
Listen, it blows my mind that in two halves of football, he probably beat a better offensive and defensive team in Georgia last year.
Name me one successful athlete, celebrity, businessman that has come from Hawaii.
Isn't The Rock from Hawaii?
I.
Isn't he? I'm not actually sure. I just feel
I
like
don't
he
think
should.
He is.
I don't know. Okay, that guy that wrote, you know, somewhere
he
over the
died
rainbow.
At the age of like 30. I don't know if you'd call him successful.
But he was successful.
You do realize, Alex, that Bruno Mars was born in Hawaii. Barack Obama was born in Hawaii.
That's why you're here.
What a goat player
right there. I thought he was also born in Kenya. What was that? I can't remember if that was ever debunked or not.
But that's about as okay. A-list celebrity as it gets right now. Bruno and Obama.
All right. So, listen, you don't want to believe, like, just watch him play for yourself. He makes impossible throws. We have not converted a third down when he's at quarterback.
You're telling me he's converted every third down?
Through three games. Yes! Every third down. He's perfect on third down.
That's impressive. I'll give him
that's insane. That's like, I've never seen that before. So, I understand I'm being...
No, I'm right there with you, DC. I'm a big fan of Tua.
Here's my fear about Tua.
Thank you.
He grew up in Hawaii. It's a paradise land. He probably had a nice house. He went to the beach every weekend. There's beautiful girls, good food, great weather. There's no adversity in that upbringing. There's no adversity. The second he hits some troubled waters, he could fall apart. He's Mariota to me.
He came down in a national champion. Is that not adversity?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking about here. you're reaching up your rear end so far that you're palpating your kidney. And then pulling what out?
A 16-yard sack in overtime and then threw a touchdown pass the next play.
They just don't have it in their DNA.
Okay. All right, so we both made a pretty bold, you know, some bold predictions about some certain quarterbacks that I have to apologize for here in a little bit too. But I think this is going to be – what I'm about to say, I think is going to be you in a few months' time once Tua is actually holding the highest number you said. But that's right. That's all I have for college. I really want to get in the NFL, so.
What are your thoughts on Georgia? Anybody else? Give the rundown.
So I was, you know – I'm pretty sure you follow me on Twitter, and I was on this podcast a few weeks ago saying, watch out for South Carolina. I've been calling this upset for 2 years, and I have to stand by my tweets. I hope you understand.
Hey, drop your Twitter handle real quick for the listeners of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. @CaneTrain_19. I retweet a lot of really good things. You should definitely give it a follow. But so Georgia came out against South Carolina, absolutely dominated. South Carolina still isn't a horrible team. And I really honestly think Georgia and Alabama are just in – it's way too early in college to say this because you always get proven wrong. But it really looks like they're just in two completely different classes and
so
everybody else is
trash. Who's
your
final four right now, TC?
Georgia, Bama, honestly probably – there's going to be a Big Ten in there somewhere. If it's not Ohio State, it'll end up being Penn State. But I just don't think they're going to make it through undefeated. I know, but they're just good enough to beat Ohio State. And the whole rest of the Big Ten is trash. They shouldn't lose any more games up until Ohio State. And whoever wins the ACC, I honestly think Virginia Tech is good enough to run the table unless they lose to Clemson. So either Clemson or Virginia Tech, one of the two.
I think you could bet everything you own right now on a Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Clemson Final Four.
It's a safe bet. It's just so hard. They had so much backlash last year with putting two SEC teams in. And so Georgia and Bama are going to meet in the SEC championship there. That's like undisputable. And if it's a blowout.
Did you guys see the LSU Auburn game?
Not all of it. Caught highlights.
Thoughts.
LSU is a lot better than I thought they would be this year. They're still not great. Joe Burrow is not a very good quarterback. But Auburn's defense is very overrated, and I think he kind of proved that.
I am, as a Georgia fan, the Georgia fan in me is very, very nervous about heading out to LSU to play them this year.
I totally agree.
I am not looking forward,
and
I'm not
I would
looking
be
forward
too.
To that game at all.
Is that a night game?
I don't think the schedule's been – the times have been announced, but
– Okay.
No, they schedule it the week.
It's going to be a
– LSU is completely different.
It's going to be a 3:30 game, right? That's the prime time CBS, like the college slot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it is. If it's ESPN, though, it'll be and ESPN can pick up. They have like the contracts to pick up what games they want first. So unless there's a better game on that week, then it'll be CBS. But it's gonna be good. Nighttime in Death Valley is just a different feeling.
LSU's 6 right now. Georgia's 2.
Yeah, LSU's also they're overrated. They're not bad, but they're not a 6 team in the country.
Wow, good. That's a huge game. That could definitely be ESPN. Or ABC or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, but as long as you know, Fromm doesn't go out and make any bonehead mistakes, Georgia's not going to lose the game.
Okay, I like that.
All right, let's get into the NFL.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's do that. All right, waiting on our goat, and then we'll get started. There he is. Perfect timing.
Okay, so Arnav, I want your thoughts on the Falcons and the NFC South. How are you feeling? Are you nervous about the Saints or the Bucks? Or
it better be the Bucks.
Here's the thing. I was begging Austin to stay away from Bucks Twitter and their Instagram, because I know that if she sees the picture of Fitzmagic at his presser, I will have lost her. That's about as much as the Bucks scare me. Here's the thing. As a Falcons fan for several years, I know what Mike Smith is. And that's an awful, awful defensive-minded coach. And that's his calling card in the NFL. That offense is littered with playmakers. You have Mike Smith. You have you have Mike Evans. You have DeSean Jackson. You got Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard. The running backs, I don't think they'll be able to run the ball come late in the year. But the offense is good.
Yep.
The defense is going to crumble when it matters most. The Bucks do not scare me as much as I think everyone else might be intimidated by them.
Okay.
I'm worried about the Saints. The Saints scare me.
Because they've looked very shaky.
And that's the thing. But I refuse to bet against Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They're just too good together. The offense and Kamara, and they get Ingram back in a couple of weeks. So I haven't seen a Saints game yet, but from what I've been reading is the defense looks abysmal all of a sudden.
Yep. Yeah, it does.
Marshawn Lattimore is getting absolutely toasted by everyone he plays. And seeing the highlights of what Mike Evans did to him, Julio might drop 150 on him if he plays the way Mike, or if he plays as poorly as he did against Mike Evans. And that first round draft pick they gave up for Marcus Davenport, I have no idea what they're doing. The Breeze window was 1, maybe 2 years. I don't know why you give up that kind of pick for someone who's not realistically going to contribute until 2 or maybe 3 years down the line for that pass rusher. I don't know what they're doing on defense, but they worry me for better or worse.
Every time you see a team going, quote, all in on a season by trading picks for Davenport or building a dream team, always run the other way. They're overconfident. They're not looking at all the other flaws on their team, but the one missing piece, which is never actually the only missing piece.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. I think you're trying to say that about the Rams too, which I disagree with, but I don't like, it's because it's so strange because the Saints didn't lose a whole lot of people from last year. And I don't – like, I haven't watched Davenport play. I don't even know what number he is, so I can't say if he's been good or bad. Because I've watched pretty much all of the Saints games both times.
He's invisible.
I haven't heard his name. He hasn't really been making a whole lot of plays. But
maybe he's still in a Division III games. I don't know where he is.
He's out there playing wide receiver. We wouldn't know.
Maybe. I did a quick Twitter search on him before we started this podcast, and the highlight of his first two weeks in the NFL – in the regular season, has been him lining up on over the left tackle, whoever they were playing, running a stretch play to the right where he's unblocked, and him making the pursuit around the line of scrimmage to make the tackle. That's it. That's the extent of it.
That is so good to hear, because as a Packers fan, we pass on him to pick up a first rounder next year, and we still got Jair Alexander. It's so happy to me. It's so great to see the Saints struggling at home, which is their calling card, against the Bucs and the Browns.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I really feel like week one against the Bucs was a lot more game planning than anything else. They had the entire offseason to get ready for this game.
Yeah.
And they went out and they really just hit a few really big plays that shouldn't have happened. That having said, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing out of his mind. But just as a Jets fan, I'm not going to believe in this team ever. I can't. I've seen this story too many times. He's going to let him down. And I'm just waiting for it to happen.
You talking about Fitzmagic?
Oh, yeah.
Magicians don't let people down, dude. It's consistent awe.
The play I always come back to is 2016 against the Bills. He needs to hit – all he needs to do is hit a wide open Jeremy Curley for a first down. So we keep the ball, run out the clock, and win the game. Instead, he throws a pick six to Stephon Gilmore, and we lose. Don't go to the playoffs. Well,
here's the thing. We're not talking about Fitzpatrick as a season-long starter. If you told the Bucks before the season started, when the news of Jameis' suspension had come out, that you guys can go very realistically, that, you know, worst case scenario now, 2-2 over the first 4 weeks, that's a win. That's a win for them. As soon as Fitzmagic fizzles out, you put Jameis right back in the lineup. Now, I don't think he's a significant upgrade for him, but it's not like the season's revolving around Fitzpatrick right now.
I remember preseason watching NFL Network, and they were going through the Bucs schedule predicting week by week wins.
Mm-hmm.
The entire debate was, are the Bucs going to win a game this year? And you look at their schedule, it's brutal up front. And they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
It's insanity. I never saw it coming.
I mean, having said that too, the Saints probably should have won the first game, and it was a lot of luck that, because Drew Brees, I'm a little concerned. I don't know if it's too early to be concerned, but especially against the Browns, he did not look good. It looks really, really bad for a defense that still doesn't have a whole lot of secondary presence in the Browns. I don't know.
It could be over. I mean, the dude's 39.
Yeah, the way the Browns, they're just a very weird Browns team right now. I think it's throwing everybody off in the NFL. So I really hope he gets over this, because I have a lot riding on him this season.
I hope he doesn't, so we get a top 10 pick next year.
That would work out great for the Packers, yeah.
I hope it's just a disaster in New Orleans.
Okay.
Do not get your hopes up. Do not bet against Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
I will continue to bet against that juicy fruit loving fool.
But okay, so what about the Falcons? How are you feeling about your team so far, Anna?
Alex and I were texting about this earlier today. Our injury luck that we've had over the last, you know, two and a half seasons has finally regressed to the mean.
Yep.
We have currently lost our two most dynamic players on defense. So Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. Deion Jones is on IR designated to return. We don't know how long that will be. It might be a situation like Rodgers towards the end of the year. He's only going to be back if we're in playoff contention. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we just lost LaVitre today to a busted triceps. So out of the three of them, LaVitre is the least concerning. Schweitzer can step up like he did last year, and he's competent at worst. And, you know, slightly above average at best. So he's not the one to worry about. Is just going to get roasted all year long. Yeah. The defense is what we're worried about. So the season's going to come down to Sark.
Yeah, that's really comforting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know for a fact that at the very least I am on record. I think Alex agreed with me. I don't know if you ever stated your opinions too, but I thought the Falcons would be a very, very good team this year.
A
very good team.
Very good team.
I remember at least 2 weeks ago when we had our last podcast, we were talking about how good that Falcons defense was going to be. And then that fell apart in week one. Exactly. So
my preseason prediction says them as the one seed in the NFC.
Yeah. So after week one, it looked like, you know, that would definitely fall apart on both sides of the ball. Sark looked a lot better against a very kind of poor Panthers secondary. So I don't know if he's out of hot water yet, but.
Well, that's what we were saying. If he has, I think we're a team to be worried about, because with a competent offensive coordinator, I don't know if there's an offense with as much talent.
No, there's
in
not.
The NFL as we
I
have. But that being said,
I don't think there is.
Sark is a complete nincompoop, and he has done very little to inspire any kind of confidence in me. So if he's turned the corner, that's our only hope, because we can't rely on our defense this year. We're going to get the ball ran down our throats.
Yeah.
From the offense.
Yeah. I mean, they finally got, because week one, it looked like they had no game plan other than throw it to Julio and pull up plays from last year's NFC Championship game. And it didn't work for some reason. But I mean, they looked a lot better. You know, Ridley got the ball. The tight end got the ball. Tevin Coleman and Ito looked, I think, just as good as Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman did.
Coleman is better than Devontae.
No,
he's not. And this is why. What he has over Devontae in terms of raw athleticism, the dude's a burner. He lacks in vision. He misses open holes and cutback lanes all the time that Devontae can hit. And it's trading the big play upside that Tevin Coleman brings to the table for the every down consistency that Devontae has. I would rather have Devontae. Now, that's injuries aside. If Devontae turns out to be more injury prone, then obviously the conversation swings in favor of Tevin. Yeah. But that aside, you guys are wrong about two healthy running backs.
Tevin is also $10 million cheaper a year.
That's honestly the biggest thing to me. Do you like Freeman's contract? Out of curiosity.
No. I am not a proponent of paying a running back this kind of money. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the Falcons game, but Ito Smith came in as the change of pace back to spell Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, he looks good.
And he looked good. And here's the thing. You can find that kind of production in the draft very, very easily. I am not a proponent of paying these running backs these big, big contracts. I just think it's a waste of money.
I completely agree.
It's so easy to find that in the fourth round. You can burn a fourth round pick and have a rookie deal for 4 years. Without having to pay a running back that kind of money.
Yep. Unless it's like a perennial talent, which I think some teams are kind of reaping the benefit of right now.
But correct.
Before we go any further, I need to get this off my chest because it's eating at me. I have to believe that Pat Mahomes is listening to this, because for months, months I've been saying, I don't believe in you. You're not going to be great. You're overrated. So I'm really sorry. Because I don't know how he knew he was playing me this week. I don't know how he knew that this would be the perfect time to get revenge, but good. The dude's amazing.
This fantasy week, or no, this is in our other league. This fantasy week was one that I will never forget. It was one of the best fantasy weeks I've had in years.
Alex came out, got total revenge against my championship game against him last year, and then dug the grave for me, threw my body in, and danced on it.
I kicked you and said no mercy.
And I had the second highest scoring week.
That's impressive. I was going to say, Alex, you had a pretty good week in our league, too.
Dude, I have Mahomes in both leagues. I feel like I'm a fantasy genius. I'm in my fantasy prime right now, gentlemen.
I can't even disagree.
Two dynasty leagues. Both of them are led by Pat Lightskin Mahomes for the next 10 years. I'm in good hands. I am excited for my fantasy futures. Dynasties are in the beginning stages.
Here's the thing. On NFL Network the other day, they had some analyst on there. I can't remember who it was. But they were saying it takes 4 games in the NFL for defensive coordinators across the league to get a book on a player. So they're saying, and you have to agree, that the way he's playing right now, the rate, the pace at which he's playing is unsustainable. Unless he's the first to ever play like this, which he's more than likely not. He's, to me, doing what Deshaun Watson did last year up to the point he got injured. He's setting the NFL on fire, but he's going to regress to the mean. And I think it's going to happen by week 6.
He is not the mean, though. He's higher than the mean.
That's correct. But the pace he's on is currently unsustainable.
That's fine. I mean, I'll take 5 touchdowns a week. I don't need.
I remember saying very early in the spring when if there's going to be a Chiefs offense, it's going to largely revolve around Pat Mahomes throwing deep balls to very fast receivers like Tyreek Hill. And I think that's definitely their key component, because I mean, the dude can just throw it so hard, so long. It's unbelievable.
That was the key component week 1. This past week, he was hitting throws up the seam.
Yeah.
It was a different type of throw he was making this past week, which reassured me, because the first week I thought the same thing. He's Tyreek Hill dependent.
There's way too many weapons around. And he's got Kelsey. He's got Tyreek. He's got Hunt coming out of that backfield. And most important, he's got Andy Reid behind it all.
That's what I was about to say to you.
Yeah.
he's got a great game planner. Just not a great clock manager, but nobody's perfect.
He's not a good dieter either.
I was going to say, not a health-minded individual.
So I'm still not high on the Chiefs as a team. Their defense, I think, is actually last in the league right now through two games.
They'll turn it around. They'll turn it around. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I don't know about that. Okay, one. But Alex, I was Chiefs. Going to say, to your credit, yeah, that's another thing that you want from your. That's why Drew Brees was such a fantasy relevant quarterback for for a 3-year stretch that they were 7-9.
Yeah,
defense is awful. So you have to be throwing the ball late into games, and it's great for fantasy relevance.
It's amazing. I feel like I'm sitting on a gold mine. It's like the 1840s. I'm out in California. Boy.
We're not going to hear the end of this for a while, TC.
Jeez.
No, I know. But
real, boys.
So, just talking about that division, the Raiders. I mean, Carr looked a lot better this week. I'll give him that.
He's Captain Dump Off, man. It's 5- and 6-yard dump offs all game
it's
long.
It's pitiful.
I didn't think I sent this to Alex and Jeffrey, but week one, he had like 44 passes and only 9 with wide receivers.
And his wide receivers are loaded.
But I know. Cooper actually caught 10 of 10 targets this past week for like 110 yards or something like that. No, I'm still not high on him. I do think the Chiefs offense is better than whatever the Raiders have. And they look like the biggest idiots for trading away Khalil Mack.
Oh, 100%. This trade is going to go down as being as bad as what Danny Ainge has done to other teams in the NBA these last couple of years. It's a highway robbery that they somehow sent a second-round pick over along with Khalil Mack.
It's pitiful. It makes me so mad.
I don't know.
Alex and I were talking about this the other day, about how can you put yourself in the Saints GM's shoes – thinking that I gave up 2 first-round picks to get Marcus Davenport when I could have given up two first-round picks to get Khalil Mack, whose window would have much better fit what they're dealing with Breeze. But
yeah,
just a disaster.
And you like the reason you want those first-round picks is to draft a player like Khalil Mack. And then so they traded him away to the Bears, who are probably going to have a very high first-round draft pick, and they're not going to get nearly as good as a player they want.
I'm very, very worried about the Bears. They, in both of their first games, the game last night and the week one against the Pack, they've looked very, very, very scary to me.
They have. Let me dispel this worry real quick. They will never go anywhere with Mitchell Trubisky as that quarterback.
See, Pete, I've heard this for 2 weeks now, how Trubisky's holding them back. But what I see from him the last 2 weeks, he looks pretty good to me.
I agree, too.
He looks a lot better than people are giving credit for. That's all I'm going to say.
That he threw like 2 picks in that game, and he should have thrown 3 if that were the one in the corner of the end zone wasn't dropped.
I'm not concerned. Like, he has only started like half the season last year and these first 2 games this year. I mean,
his mobility is very scary to me. They're getting him outside the pocket. He's torching people on the ground. He's got good pocket awareness. He's not that accurate right now. He missed a deep one last night for a touchdown. But he's showing potential for sure.
I mean, that last touchdown throw he threw last night to basically put the game away was awesome. Yeah. Rolling out to the left, throw it deep in the corner of the end zone to Anthony Miller. It was good.
And Nagy there's a new breed of offense coming around with McVay. Now we've got Nagy. It's just this new age motions, people out of the backfield. It's craziness. It's crazy to watch. It's also creative. Their offenses they're so efficient. And I know Trubisky's not closing in the red zone, but I think that's coming, and that's worrisome.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you guys this question, because this is a stat that I saw earlier. I think Kurt Warner threw this out. He said, with the – I don't know if you guys have seen this – with the new rule changes and everything and where the NFL is now, the average passer rating for a quarterback in the NFL this week 2 was higher than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. It was like a 105.9 or something, and Aaron Rodgers' career is like 105, you know, point something.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about that?
I think the NFL is – it's interesting. I think the penalties last year absolutely ruined the season. I thought the penalties last season were atrocious. Mm-hmm. I think this season – I'm surprised that the headhunting rules aren't bothering me at all. I think the players are doing a good job of not hitting. I think they're calling it fair. But now they've added in these new QB hit rules, and it's boosting the passer rating, like Kurt Warner said. You can't touch the quarterback. They stand there, and they deliver strikes every play. It's too unfair for the defenses right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every quarterback's lighting it up. You can't stop them.
I agree. I think I honestly think part of it is strictly development of the game. Because, I mean, there's only so much defense coverage you can put on. And if you study the team enough and you're a good offensive coach, you can figure out how to beat that pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But definitely part of it is the rule system. And I'm sure – because I'm sure you're thinking the exact same play I am, Alex, with Clay Matthews, the hit on Kirk Cousins, because that was mind-boggling to me. And then I just saw a tweet actually a little bit ago, or either a tweet or it was on Reddit, where the NFL said they made the correct call.
Oh, yeah,
call,
they doubled down on it. They doubled down on it.
Yeah, and they said that was going to be a play they used to, you know, show people the rule they're talking about.
Yeah, and
I want to, like, be privy to this, because I want to know how that was roughing the passer.
So what they said was, you can't lift up the quarterback's legs when you tackle him. Which, if you watch the replay, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, me either.
That's searching for something to justify the hit.
It's so pitiful to me. It's so infuriating. Here's the worst part about it. There was a play earlier in the game that no one's talking about. Mike Daniels, I don't know if you guys saw this. Mike Daniels comes right through the center. And he has a free shot on Kirk Cousins. Free shot, right up the gut. And right as he gets to him, Kirk pump fakes. And Mike Daniels is so close to him.
Yeah, he lets go of the ball.
Mike thinks that he actually threw it.
Oh, boy.
But it was just a pump fake. So instead of hitting him, he stops. And Kirk pulls the ball down and kind of bounces off of him. And takes off and runs for a few yards. And Mike Daniels turns around and is like, wait, what? He didn't throw it? They're killing the pass rush in the game. It's a travesty.
Yeah. And I certainly understand, like, certain rules. Like, I think diving at the legs of a quarterback is very, very dangerous, especially, like, hitting below the knee, like, that hard. I can understand that. But, like, Clay Matthews had the picture-perfect tackle, and I didn't understand. Just restricting what they can do at that high of a speed to the point, like, throwing flags, then. I don't understand. Make it flag football.
There's a difference between landing on someone and driving them into the ground.
Correct. Correct. I think them asking defensive players not to land on quarterbacks is asking them to defy the laws of physics. I don't know how you tackle somebody moving at full speed without landing on top of them.
How do you tackle Big Ben without landing on him?
Yeah.
I mean, people can hardly tackle normally now.
Picking up some leg to get him off balance. I mean, it's just absurd. They've got to change it. And now they're deciding outcomes. I mean, we should be 2-0.
Yeah, because, and I know, like, both the Packers and the Vikings played a good game and definitely had penalties on both sides, I think, helped. But the game overall was really, really good. I kind of turned it off in the middle of the second quarter and came back and watched the whole fourth quarter because it was great. I don't know what kind of disease is going around that's affecting every kicker in the league, but it's really, really funny. I'm standing by my prediction. I think all three NFC North teams still make the playoffs. Everyone besides the Lions, because they all look like amazing teams right now.
So that means that the Panthers and the Saints don't make the playoffs.
It's looking like it, right? Especially the way they've been playing.
That's interesting.
But Alex, oh, not there.
There we go.
Okay, we're all here.
I want to come out and basically admit I was wrong about the Seahawks. It was a big, big mistake. All offseason, I was all in on their demise. And then with about a week or two to go, I got this other feeling in my stomach that said, don't bet against Russell. It was a big mistake. So for that, I apologize.
Well, I think the Seahawks are like a 7-win team this year, 7-8-win team this year. But that being said, their biggest flaw on offense is their line. And that's the Bears' biggest strength on defense. I think they'll be okay-ish over the course of the season, but the Bears really did it to him last night.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a mistake, because I texted Arnav last night. Like, I wasn't sure I was going to win that game, because I just don't – it's hard to bet against Russell Wilson every game. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care how bad their team is. Russell just makes plays. And he almost made that comeback last night too. But Nagy just – he was able to actually get the ball moving on offense. They scored another touchdown, and he just didn't have a shot.
Yeah.
But their line is atrocious. Their running backs, I don't know where Chris Carson went, why they were forcing the issue with Rashad Penny, but it wasn't working. And it was such a waste of a pick not to take an O-lineman.
I don't get it. I was listening to Cowherd today. He had a great point. He said, the Seahawks O-line has been bad for 3 years now. He's like, how is that possible in the NFL? You have the draft, you have mm-hmm. free agency, and you have trades. How can one position be horrible for 3 years? Like, at what point do you go to the draft and say, let's solve the issue? Or you start paying some guy.
Yeah.
He's like, what's going on in Seattle? They can't fix the offensive line.
And I think it's even more of a problem when you have a quarterback like you, a Russ, a Brady, an Aaron Rodgers. Because those are quarterbacks that can elevate the play of their skill positions around them. Quarterbacks can manufacture a running game. Those quarterbacks can manufacture a passing attack because of what they can do with their arm. All they need is an offensive line to keep them upright. That's all you need to invest in on offense.
I mean,
and they haven't been able to do that.
Russell's been sacked like, what, 12 times in the past two games and been hit at least 20? There's no way he's going to survive a whole season like that. That's literally ridiculous.
It's negligence on their part is what it is.
And their entire run game last year was more or less Russell Wilson throwing really short passes and just kind of having that simulation of it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have any time to do that at all this year. And especially when the defenses are going to be playing like the Rams, the Cardinals front seven isn't terrible, but they're not going to be able to, like, I still think third in the division is where they're going to finish.
You know, who's looked really good to me is, Shaq Griffin, the one with the hand, the corner.
No. That's the linebacker.
No, the linebacker. The one with the hand.
Oh, with the hand. Excuse me.
With the hand. The corner.
Yeah, he did look good last night.
He looks like Sherman Light.
Dude, he looks like shutdown corner material to me. I'm a big fan.
And, like, I honestly, like you say, where's the O-line? Like, I think they've been so focused on trying to rebuild their whole Legion of Boom that they've completely, like, not focused on any other position, because it feels like every time they just get these big defensive free agents, whether it's Sheldon Richardson a couple years ago, or whoever they want to sign and bring on here, Brandon Browner for like the fifth time, and it never works out.
Yeah.
Okay,
so if I had to ask you guys right now today,
mm-hmm.
who's in the Super Bowl after the first 2 weeks, who are you picking?
Arnav.
Gosh, I out of the NFC, I think I have to go with the Vikings. Okay. Kirk Cousins looks great. It looks like there's a 2-3 years worth of chemistry between him and Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
And that's scary. The defense is unreal. They have maybe the best safety in the league back there. Pass rushing rotations are amazing. I like the Vikings a lot.
You know that we beat them with a quarterback with one leg this past weekend? I'm just throwing it out there. We beat them.
I do. I just don't think Green Bay's defense is quite there yet.
Fair.
That being said, out of the AFC, I think it's the Jags. I think that defense is just too talented, and it's going to be a defensive slugfest in the Super Bowl.
Okay. That would be a crazy matchup.
That would be.
That would be. I don't want to pick the same teams, but I'm also very, very high on the Vikings, and honestly, they're probably my second pick if I don't get to pick them. So I'm going to stick with the Rams. I thought their defense is ridiculous. Jared Goff played very, very well. Brandon Cooks fits in perfect with that offense. Robert Woods, I think, is very underrated. Mm-hmm. And Gurley is just the man.
Gosh, he's so good.
He's so good. And then AFC, I am still really high on the Texans, even though they're not performing well yet. I honestly think Deshaun Watson just needs a couple more games to get back in the rhythm, and then he'll be fine. But I'm actually going to pick the Chargers right now.
Wow.
The Falcons and the Chargers are those two teams that always, you know, on paper they look really good. They show really good things at times of the season. They always let you down in the postseason. And I hate to pick the Chargers because of that, but I'm going to. Okay. Rivers is playing phenomenal. Melvin Gordon is actually doing a lot. I'm just feeling it right now.
Okay. So the best teams I've seen this year are the Rams, the Vikings, and the Jaguars. If I had to pick a Super Bowl right now, it'd be Rams over Jaguars.
Yeah. And the Jags, like I was mind blown they beat the Pats as well as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Especially without Fournette with their offensive centerpiece, they came out and ran an amazing game plan. Bortles probably played the best game of his career.
Oh, without a doubt.
And like they had Keelan Cole looked great. D.D. Westbrook looked great. And their defense is so, so scary.
Yeah.
Alex, what's yours? You said the Jags, and who was the other one?
I'm saying Rams over Jags.
Rams over Jags, okay. So are you still on your hold of Rams? Are the dream team that's going to fail?
That was the biggest strikeout of my offseason prediction.
I was – Alex, I – TC, are you on this wagon too, that the Rams are actually going to be good?
No, they're going to be good. The Rams are good, yeah.
I told him the same thing, TC. He was having none of it. He thought the locker room was going to implode. Everything that could go wrong was going to go wrong. Alex, that's music to my ears hearing you say this.
Yeah, I fully admit I was completely and 100% wrong about that. They're scary. See, part of my issue is I'm such a Packers homer that anything that seems threatening, I definitely Oh, the Falcons. I'm not worried about them. They got Sark. He's a moron. Oh, the
there's
Rams.
A lot of introspection going around tonight.
Yeah, the Rams have locker room issues. And then I'm like, I look around, I'm like, shoot, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
The only thing that made me nervous about them was the Marcus Peters signing, just because I don't like Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
But then he like had that game-closing pick six week one. And I was just like, all right, well, what do I know?
Yeah,
dude's a baller. He's a little bit of a head case, but he's a shutdown corner.
That's all you need. I think the Titans are pretty trash. I'm glad.
Titans are bad. Mike Vrabel's a joke. He's not going to last 2 years.
I don't understand their offense at all. Because that whole run game they had with Henry is the exact same thing they did last year. Just, oh, he's a big guy. Just run him out the middle. It doesn't work. It does not work at all. And, like, so he's getting passed over for Deion Lewis again.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Deion Lewis isn't even good.
I disagree.
You would disagree.
But Andrew Luck is, I think, back. I think it's pretty safe to say Luck's back.
I think he is.
He hasn't really been throwing deep balls. Someone pulled up this whole stat from his last good season and compared his first two games this season. I think it's too early to tell. I honestly think the coach is probably just working him back into the game mode before they let him just go loose. But I think the NFL is better with Luck back in it.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
That's true. How are you guys feeling about the Steelers?
It is a dumpster fire in Pittsburgh. Close your eyes, put on a Steelers jersey for a second, and think about what this team looks like as a fan. Your head coach's calling card has been being a player's guy, right?
Yep.
He's lost the locker room. He has not been a disciplined coach. Over the last 2 years, you have lost your most dynamic player on the defense. All right? Shazier is gone. That's a big role to fill that they have yet to do.
Yep.
Le'Veon's holding out. Maybe the most versatile running back in the league. You're not going to see him again. TC brought up a great point today saying that he might be traded before the trade deadline. I wasn't even thinking about it, but that's a phenomenal point. I think they might do it. It's just a dumpster fire.
And now AB.
I think the AB thing is a non-story. I really do. Because, I mean, first off, Schefter said it was a non-story. Trust in Schefter. but I don't – like, there. I hate two coaches more than anyone in the NFL, and it's Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin. Because I know, and I hate it. And it's just because of this one playoff game. Like, right, first off, Mike Tomlin tripped someone up on the sideline, right? That was him.
Yeah, that was him.
Yep.
Yeah, that was him. What a dirty guy. And then that playoff game 2 years ago where they had like six fights break out at the fourth quarter. The one where Vontaze Burfict or Burfacet basically killed Antonio.
What? Burfict.
Burfict. I can't remember how to say his That's name, not right? Hard he's been suspended like the past year and a half. I can't remember him, right? But he like basically took Antonio Brown's head off on that crossing route. Then the coach from the Steelers got into the fight with Pac-Man Jones, and no one really did anything. It's just bad coaching. That's just absolutely horrible coaching. So I don't like him more than anybody else. And I think that's him not having any control over his players is what led to this whole Bell thing. And then not telling, like, because Bell's obviously one of the best running backs in the NFL. Probably want to work something out with him. And then he could obviously have his players shut up about the whole Bell situation. They have that whole press conference while everyone does on the team is trashing. Of course he's not going to come back.
Why would he? It's awful. It is so bad. I mean, this is what you get when you give your players all this power, all this voice. You got to have at least some semblance of a system. This is not a party. It's not a hangout.
Yeah.
It's a business. Get your troops.
No, it's a job. Mind. Yeah. So if they don't, they absolutely 100% should trade him, but I don't think they will. That's how little faith I have in that whole organization right now, because I think Bell's going to like not get traded. I don't know whether he's ever going to show up or not, but he's not going to play the rest of the year, and they're going to eat his salary for this full year, have to watch him go away to some other team who's going to pay him money and never see any sort of return at all.
Okay.
Because there's one team in the NFL that would be perfect for Bell.
Are you
going
to see
right
the Jets? Oh, boy.
And it's the Jets. We're one of those two teams in desperate need of a good running back that have the cap to pay him what he wants and need a run game to support a young quarterback. But they're not going to trade him to us because they want to sit there and be like, oh, you can't treat us like this. Well, no.
I guess another thing is going to be they definitely want to get him out of division. They're out of conference.
Yeah, and I understand that too.
I don't know if that's going to play a part in things. But yeah, TC, I wasn't even thinking about them trading him. But at this point, it looks like you need – I mean, it's a system for running backs in Pittsburgh. We had D'Angelo Williams pop off a couple of years ago. James Conner looks phenomenal. I don't know why you wouldn't trade him at this point.
As much as I want to sit here and trash the Steelers, like, they're making a really good move organization-wise to not have Bell there.
Yeah.
All right, like, you don't – all right, we can just obviously plug whoever in here, and we're going to do fine. They have the best – one of the best receivers in the NFL. Another great Juju. Receiver in Juju. So, I mean, if they don't have to pay him that
and
money –
honestly, if you look at Le'Veon Bell, he's a character issue guy. He's had weed issues. He's a troublemaker.
I don't know about troublemaker. He had one. I don't think he's any more of a troublemaker than is Aaron Jones. He had one issue with weed, right?
Yeah, but would you pay a guy who's consistently suspended, injury prone?
I don't know about injury prone either. He tore his ACL. I don't think he's any more injury prone than Rodgers is.
I'd say Rodgers is probably more injury prone than him.
Well, I'm gonna go. All right, fair. I digress.
Okay, but speaking of weed and suspensions, what is everyone's thought on the Josh Gordon trade?
Man.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's cut in a week or two. Dude, his hamstring could be an issue.
They his MRI checked out clean. His hamstring is good to go. Here's the thing.
Yeah, he's good.
Apparently, he hurt that hamstring in a photo shoot, which
yes.
sounds weird to me, but makes me also think that it's not serious. I don't know what the hell you can be doing in a photo shoot. It's going to pull your hamstring severely.
Depends on what kind of photo shoot.
I don't even know where you're going with that, and I'm not going to touch that. But he's got top five receiver potential with Brady.
The just kind of build off my whole, you know, racism building. I also don't like Hugh Jackson at all, because he came out after week one. He said, "Oh, Josh Gordon wasn't supposed to be on the field as much as he was." Well, you're the head coach; you take him off the field. And then he came out week two. He's like, "Oh, Josh Gordon's going to get a lot more work this week." And then he's like, "Oh, we don't think he's going to be healthy for Sunday. Oh, we're actually going to cut him on Monday."
Dude,
what's going on? Do you know what's happening with your team?
Hugh Jackson is one of the worst coaches in the league. He was a disciple of Marvin Lewis, so it's understandable why. He's an idiot. Marvin Lewis hasn't been to the playoffs in, 16 years, and he still has a job?
And it's his own fault.
It's silly.
Because he can't control
his career. I'm totally with you on Marvin and Hugh. I'll come out and say it.
I'm gonna take a second and defend the culture here. For what it's worth, Marvin Lewis has started off the season nicely. And I'll leave it there.
That's true.
I really think that's more because I can't remember their offensive coordinator's name, but through 16 games, Andy Dalton has had like the top three amount of touchdowns with Laser. So, because he's had eight games with him last year, six games with him last year, two games with him this year. Like it's looking good. I mean, but Josh Gordon scares me as a Jets fan because, like Arnold said, top five talent. We have absolutely no one that can match up with him at all.
Don't be
and
worried.
Especially with Brady throwing him the ball.
Effect puts Josh Gordon at top five receiver potential. His ceiling is through the roof. Now, it comes down to the fact of whether or not he's going to stay off. And, you know, I need the Stephen A. Smith gif here. Stay off the weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and apparently what I was reading about the Browns letting him go is that he showed up not only late to that meeting on Friday, I think it was, but also he didn't look himself, in quotes. So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm assuming they're going to drug test him. They'd be stupid not to drug test him on his way in.
Oh,
and
yeah, for
he
sure.
comes out clean, I he's fine, I guess.
Firstly, he won't come off clean. If he does, he'll be clean for a week, and then he won't be anymore. This guy is the biggest joke in the league. I've heard the same news for 5 years. I'm not clicking on any more articles. I'm done with them. It's over. I've clicked on too many Josh Gordon is coming back, finally, links. I'm done with it. I'm not wasting the time.
It's true. It's like that one girl that, I mean, we all know it. Like, she keeps coming around. We think we have a shot. No. We bide our time trying, no. But I'm just scared because there's so much potential there that, I mean, because the Pats, and here's a really cool stat for you. Sam Darnold, since he won the starting job, has made Tom Brady go 0-2. I think it's a really underrated story that's not getting a whole lot of attention. Because I think Brady's scared. I'll just throw that on the table.
Wait, what's the stat?
Brady's 0-2 while Sam Darnold's starting.
aren't they 1-1?
I think Belichick. They won their first
That's
game.
The dumbest stat I've ever heard.
All right, TC.
Well, I think Belichick is having PTSD from the Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan days. He sees this in his future and is affecting the whole organization.
Tyler Kane rebranding as racist and moron.
I'll have to add that.
Throw it on the resume, man. Just go the whole nine yards.
Dude, we need to build a website, TC. We can get all this on there.
Dude, that would be so much fun. I don't know how to build a website, though, but we can definitely work. We should get a Twitter
you
page.
Should do that's the bare minimum. This is fantastic that you guys are doing this. Props to y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. But also, just kind of a cool side note, I think if anyone can actually fix Josh Gordon, it's Tom Brady. Just get him, Brady, and Guerrero in one room, and it's like he's just going to be converted to whatever religion is Tom Brady.
Oh, geez, imagine putting Josh Gordon, the substance abuser, in Alex Guerrero's training room. What kind of weird oriental techniques are they going to do to him in there? What kind of herbal drugs?
All for it.
If it was
salt, are they going to smoke it?
If this was a like a work ethic issue, I would agree with you. But this is someone who's just not right in the head and has a dependence on a substance. There's nothing. If he doesn't make that decision for himself, there's nothing that Brady, Guerrero, Belichick are going to do. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Chris Carter on First Things First, having a former drug problem, he's got awesome takes on Josh Gordon. Yeah, he's got awesome looks at us. Hello, hello.
Okay.
Hello, boys.
There we go. We're in.
Okay, so, Arnav, what were you saying about Chris Carter on First Things First? What's his take on Josh Gordon?
Just that it's a decision that he's got to make by himself, and everyone saying that Brady or Belichick or anyone else can help get him right is just not familiar with what substance abuse is.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair. The only other thing I could think of about this that I'll admit is a bit of a conspiracy theory. So Belichick has this whole thing with the Browns, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it came out a few months ago that he purposefully was just rejecting every trade offer they sent for Garoppolo because of every history he had with them. So they basically gave him Josh Gordon for free. They were supposed to take a sixth, but the Pats didn't have one, so they sent him a fifth. Is this, you know, the new regime in the Browns trying to repair the relationship there, you think?
Wow, I don't
That's a great point.
I mean, as long as if Josh Gordon does turn out, you know, he's actually clean. Everything he says is true. He's not trying to mess anything up. The Pats just got one of the best receivers in the NFL for literally nothing.
And not only that, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, right? He's going to be able to re-sign for pennies of what he'd be worth anywhere else because of his substance abuse issues.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. There might be something there, and if there is, I'm going to feel really smart.
I like it, dude. I like it a lot.
So, anybody got anything else, or should we get into our mountains?
I'm ready for the mountains.
Let's go for the landscaping.
All right, so... This is this week's, because Arnav, as someone who's probably not, you know, in the podcast creating work yet, Mount Rushmore actually ended in the beginning of August. So this is Mount Kilimanjaro.
I see.
It's very, very similar, but I'm sure you'll be able to catch on pretty quick.
Okay.
So Alex, you had this week. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so... We're going to do the Mount Kilimanjaro of things girls do that make you instantly fall in love. TC,
all right,
hit me with your first one.
Okay, so this one was pretty easy. And honestly, I kept writing things down, and I was trying to figure out how to distinguish, you know, things they do from qualities I look for.
Yes.
So it was a very fine line, but I think I nailed it pretty well. Okay. They laugh at my jokes. Unless it's a really bad laugh, and that's where you kind of have to, you know, cut it off, because there's nothing more attractive than having the feedback that, hey, I'm actually funny, over and over again, unless their laugh is really annoying and I hate hearing it.
I cannot argue with that. I cannot argue with that, dude. There's nothing that makes you feel like a man more than making a girl laugh. And I told you a couple weeks ago about the laugh meter theory.
Yeah, you did.
Arnav, did I tell you about that?
No, laid on me.
So the theory that we developed probably a month ago now was every girl in the world has a gauge or a meter over their head, and it's invisible. Mm-hmm. And it's called the laugh meter. And if you fill up the laugh meter all the way, you can do anything you want with them.
Interesting, yeah.
That's the theory.
I like it.
The only downside is because I hear or I've seen this a lot, because is there a downside to making girls laugh too much?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. No, definitely not.
Okay. I feel really comforted by that because I don't know how to stop.
That's the best problem you could have. just having them in splits, it's a win. It's a win.
Okay. I'll stay the course then.
Stay the course.
Okay, Arnie.
So, again, TC brought up a good point about having that delineation between a quality you look for and something that they do.
Good word.
And thank you. And originally I had a girl smile. And that's just something that I look for, though, once I thought about it. So I said them just being happy enough that they can smile for little things in life.
Wow.
For little things in life. Just because there, you know, there are some people out there who aren't bad people, but just don't smile as much as others do.
That's true.
And I think that's a quality that is not only attractive from a, you know, personality standpoint, but also a physical one, because just because a smile is an attractive thing to have in an individual.
I agree. I interact with so many people and it's come, hey, I want to pick up a package. Hey, I have this question. And like a lot of them are just very like abrupt. They're not really treating it like a social interaction. They're not smiling. But the ones that do actually act happy, it really affects my day. It makes me feel better.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I can't argue with that. Okay. My first one is going to be when they argue back with me. When they yell at me and put me in my place.
Wow.
There's some sort of attraction with the power struggle. It's like a little game you play. It's like, who's the dominant one here? Who's in control? I don't know. It's fun. It's flirty. It's also just like it's a challenge. And challenges are great. It's fun to be challenged. I can't think of another word. I've said that word like four times now. But yeah.
No, I completely agree. There's nothing more, because like having that person just sits there and there, like you're trying to have a conversation, they're either, you know, giving you those, oh yeah, that's true, good point, I agree. And someone that's actually like debating it with you is so much more fun.
Yeah. It also shows confidence.
Yeah. So for my second one, and this, all right, because it a lot of this varies specifically girl to girl, but just in general, if I'm already like slightly attracted to them and I see this, I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl's great. And that's when they put their hair in some sort of cool, weird shape on their head.
Wow, interesting.
Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it just shows, all right, hey, they're pretty creative. They are different. And there's definitely a line to draw between when it gets too weird, but I haven't found it yet. But I don't know. It's just different.
So are we talking pigtails? Are we talking buns?
Okay, I'm talking – all right, so there's this one girl that sits in – like, because I literally – the way I came up with these is like, all right, who am I sort of attracted to now and why? Yeah. And there's this one girl that sits kind of in front of me to the left in English class, and like every day she's got her hair in some sort of weird spiral or some sort of cool braid going down, like it's just crossing and crissing everywhere. And I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty cool.
I like it. Never thought about it myself, but I like it. I'm gonna always have a list of things to look for.
Oh my gosh,
that's what I'm here for.
So yeah, my second one was just being able to relate to things that we like, and I think the most obvious example is just being able to like sit down and watch a football game with a girl without them asking every 5 minutes, oh my god, what is that? Is that a penalty? And they're just sitting on their phone the entire game. Oh, they should play him because he's cute. It's just awful. If I cannot sit there and watch a sporting event with you without wanting to pluck my eyes out, it's over. It's done with. It was over before it started.
That's a great one, dude. That is phenomenal. Oh, yeah. You nailed it.
I think, like, at least for me, like, I'm okay with having to explain some things every now and then. It makes me feel like, oh, hey, I'm smart. I can help you understand this.
Yeah.
But after a certain point, like, all right, you gotta just watch the game. Come on.
Right. And it's not like I expect you to know everything about everything, you know, sports related that I like right off the bat, but put some effort into it, even if you don't like it. I mean, just at some point, humor me and just spend a little bit of time with me, you know, engaging in whatever activity that is, whatever sporting event that is.
Absolutely. Or Fortnite. Very important. Okay, my number two is if they're a good dancer, if they can get out on the dance floor like Elaine did and play that funky music white boy and get out there and shake it and not care at all what anyone thinks, A, she's fun, B, she's super confident, and C, I want to hang out with her. I instantly fall in love.
So it's a more of a being comfortable in her own skin than a she's actually a good dancer.
Yeah, I couldn't care less how good she is. As long as she gets out there and owns it.
I gotcha.
I've got a huge crush on her.
I'll admit, like, because one of those first swing dances we went to, the one that was in that, like that backyard or that front yard with the pumpkins, like there was this one girl who was teaching me all these moves, and like I just found myself insanely attracted to her just based off of that. There's something like seeing someone so confident in something they're doing and teaching you how to do it.
Yeah.
And she was just such a good dancer. I was like, oh my gosh, this girl's great.
It's the power dynamic. It's the next challenge that you have to conquer. It's fun.
Wow. Relax there, Kavanaugh.
Okay, so my third one, and this is kind of what I talked to Alex about this earlier. I'll go ahead and I can kind of retell a story recap. If she can sing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, a couple weeks ago, or like I think it was actually last week, they had a live singer at Chick-fil-A, Arnold. Mm-hmm. And this girl was like she could sing. It was great. She's sitting there. She's playing her ukulele in this corner, just like I'm just spellbound the whole time. And I finally worked up the courage to go and say, hey, you did a great job before I left. It was a great moment.
Very nice.
And she was there today at Chick-fil-A. They had this little picnic outside thing, and she was just sitting there playing her ukulele. I was like, oh my gosh, but I have to go podcast. So
that's dedication.
I can't say it's because she was really attractive, because I did find her, you know, pretty attractive. But having her be able to like just sit there and sing, like just I was like, she's awesome.
It's a great one. It's a phenomenal quality. So my next one is somewhat of a mixture. One, kind of relating back to confidence, Alex. She is confident enough not to have to wake up every day 2 hours before she has to leave the house, curl her hair, straighten her hair, put on makeup, get into a nice dress, a sundress, whatever it might be. She's confident enough to walk out wearing sweats and a t-shirt every now and then and looking just as good as she looks wearing that.
Yes.
As she looks when she's dressed up and held up.
That's so true. It's funny. It's funny. You can tell who's got the girlfriend and who doesn't. Arnav's giving all really relatable stuff. Super like super accurate. And then I'm out here just like shooting random things.
I just have to be careful. If I say something that that Austin doesn't embody at all, I'll just get into trouble. So that's all it is.
There's like because. Those really gorgeous girls are all dressed up. It's so intimidating to try and approach them. And so seeing these girls that are just like, hey, they're normal people. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. My third one is when I see a girl who can pair off a nice pair of glasses, I'm all in.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Alex is a big fan of the glasses.
And if you couple that with TC, like a bun, like the hair up in a bun wearing glasses, that's a weakness. It's, dude, it's like, are you a librarian? What's going on here? How many books do you read per day? This is very interesting.
The girl that I was talking about, she wears glasses too sometimes. And it's just like, I just can't even focus on class. Like, gosh, she's so pretty right now.
I don't know what it is about them. Like, it makes her eyes a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so great when you see a girl that can pull those off.
Okay. So for my last one, this one's a little bit strange and it's hard to explain, but I sat there in class just looking around, all right, who's attractive right now? And just thinking back on a few other girls I'd found attractive in the past, I found a common string.
Okay.
They wear striped shirts. Like,
really?
I don't know why, but, and I was like, this is something you never consciously notice. But so I was just looking at the girls in class today. Like, oh, she's attractive. Huh, she's wearing a striped shirt. She's attractive. She's wearing a striped
shirt. Weird.
And there's just been a couple girls, like, in my past, like, I was just picturing them, like, they were wearing a striped shirt, weren't they? I think they were. And just walking through campus, I was just looking around. Striped shirt. She does look attractive. I think it's the striped shirt.
What do you think it is about the striped shirt?
I don't know. It's definitely, because this is something that, this is my last one. It's the one I came up with today at the last minute, and it was the perfect one. So this is something I'm going to do a lot more research on, and it might be come back in, you know, future podcast episodes, like a striped shirt analysis. I'll, you know, maybe assign some numbers if that's not too, you know, gender bias, because it's for science. So I think it should be
right.
Oh, I say I definitely approved.
Well, so let me ask you this, TC. Is it vertical or horizontal stripes?
The ones I noticed was horizontal. I wasn't looking for vertical. And honestly, I might not have even, because I wasn't wearing my glasses when I was walking through campus, so it was hard to see if they were far away.
TC out looking... here, Stevie wondering it through campus.
So I'll have to definitely, because I think I could just subdivide this into vertical and horizontal and see if there is a difference or if it's just the stripes.
Here's my theory. Here's my very, very preliminary theory.
Okay.
You like horizontal stripes because it makes them seem rounder.
I was about to say the exact same thing, Alex.
Interesting.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at it because I'm trying to picture a shirt with horizontal stripes or vertical stripes on it, and I can't. I don't know how that would look. It just looked weird.
Yeah.
So
very interesting.
But we'll definitely do more research into this.
Okay.
That's a good one. So my last one is, again, touching on what Alex said earlier, but it's having an opinion and being confident in yourself as a human being.
Yes.
The having an opinion, there are a few things that I find more annoying than saying, hey, where do you want to go for a date, for dinner, just to hang out even, and saying, and hearing back, oh, I don't know, what do you want to do? boom. McDonald's, don't take your eyes off that dollar menu. Just having an opinion, being opinionated, being able to make a decision, especially when it's offered to you. Now, if you just say out of the blue, hey, this is what I want, it has to happen, that's the opposite side of the spectrum. That gets a little bit annoying. But when the option is presented to you to decide, take a couple minutes, think, figure it out.
Wow.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I like it.
Because I'm so bad at that. I'm always just like, well, yeah, wherever you guys want to go, I'm good with anything.
But it's different when it's with the guys and with, you know, a girl that you're interested in or, you know, involved with.
Yeah, we don't have too many experiences like that. I'll just take your word for it for now.
That's a good one. Okay, my last one.
Bring us home, Alex.
And this is a weird one, too. When they let you give them a piggyback ride.
So, I clearly just took this way too seriously. I apologize.
When a girl says, can you give me a piggyback ride? I can't decide if it's basically, I know I'm in at that point and it makes me feel like I'm in love with them. Or if it's just like a signal like, wow, we're very comfortable with each other. That's attractive. I'm in love with you. I don't know. Or I can't decide.
You're that gay best friend again.
Which I need to work on this vibe I'm giving off.
Now, I wouldn't say, like, because that's never happened to me. But when you said it, I didn't immediately dismiss it. I was like, you know what? I'm open to it. So,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. We're going to ever be able to work myself into that situation exactly. But I'll definitely keep it in the back of my mind, just kind of rolling around.
Okay. Okay, good.
Well, yeah, Alex, let me ask you real quick. What if I asked you for a piggyback ride?
Oh, yeah.
Would there be a little bit of confusion going on there, or what?
No, just grab a stool, hop on up. You need the boost, and tell me where you want to go.
I'm shorter than you at work.
What are you talking about? We're talking about height here, dude.
Well.
Hey, great PG-13 joke. I like it.
Aren't you 5'9"?
I'm 5'10".
I'm 6'6"1".
All right. This is amazing. Arnav, I just want you to know, I was dead serious about everything I just said. Like, it sounds dumb. I was serious about it. Those are all definitely serious qualities. So,
oh, I like them.
This wasn't a joke by any means.
No. I like them. I respect it.
Can I throw on one more honorable mention?
Absolutely.
Girls with shampooed hair. Like, the hair that, like, it almost glistens. It lays perfectly down, and it all moves in one motion. It's healthy-looking hair.
I know exactly what you mean. And there's a really, really great moment whenever, like, you're passing by someone in the hall, or they just walk by you while you're sitting down, and you can, like, smell their hair as they walk by. And it smells good. That's attractive. Okay. Is that weird? It's probably a little weird. But it's definitely attractive, I think.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay, so that's all I have. I did want to bring up one last thing, and that's how amazing of a game Fortnite is, because it hasn't come up on this podcast for like a month.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we need to bring it up every now and then to remind people what's going on. Because they just threw in Port of Fortress. I don't know if y'all saw that.
I did.
Yep.
It looks great. I can't wait to go and play it after this.
It's phenomenal. That game is going to have the world on the edge of its seat for quite some time.
Did you see Ninja started playing
COD, right? COD.
Yeah. 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 The new, it looks fun. I'm not going to lie. It's got all those old maps in it. I might have to break down and get it whenever it comes out, maybe.
You just can't build, and you have to pay for it.
That's true.
The building component, one of the things that's just novel about Fortnite is just how, you know, how new that building component was to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, think that's a good bit of the appeal with it.
I think that's the most fun part is the build battles.
Have you broken down and got yourself an Xbox yet?
It's happening this week.
Okay. You're about to get back into the world.
Are you going to order it or are you going to go pick it up somewhere?
I am probably going to pick it up somewhere.
Okay. So you'll have it by this weekend is what I'm hearing.
And I'm going to have to get a Xbox Live account. I'm thinking up a gamer tag.
Oh, I like
it. Oh, snap.
It's coming very soon, gentlemen.
Dropping from the Valve bus near you.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
Okay. Well, Arnav, it's been great having you on. You've been the first and best goat we've ever had.
Thank you, sir.
It was fun. It was fun, boys.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
Adios.